We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
Okay, so these two Jewish guys were having a conversation, Jack and Sam. And Sam, in the middle of conversation, Jack asked Sam in the middle of conversation, "Hey, Sam, what time is it?" And Sam told him, and then kind of thought, you know, "Hey, Jack, you ask me what time it is every time we get together. Why don't you just wear a watch?" And Jack said, "Well, I don't need to wear a watch, because I'm always going to have someone around that I can ask what time it is." And Sam said, "Well, that's not true. If it's 3 a.m, if it's in the morning, middle of the night, and you wake up and you want to know what time it is, what are you going to do?" And Jack said, "Well, that's simple. I have a shofar." That's not the punchline yet. Just wait for it. This is a Richard Burnham joke. That's how good it is. So Sam says, "A shofar? What good is that going to do you?" And Jack said, "Well, I just open the window, blow the shofar real loud, and the neighbors yell out, 'Hey, are you crazy? Blowing a shofar at 3 a.m.? Now you can laugh." Man, I looked for the worst possible joke I could find, because I wanted to tell you that the shofar in the Jewish faith is not about telling time. When the shofar blows in the faith, that is calling the people to enter into worship. But not only is it calling people to enter into worship, it's calling people to remember. To remember what God has done, what God is doing, and what God promises to do in the future. And so it's an essential part of the Jewish faith. But more so on the feast we're looking at today. Because we're going to examine what is known as the Feast of Trumpets. And you can find the Feast of Trumpets in Leviticus and in Numbers. We're going to look at the Leviticus text. If you have your Bible, I find it interesting that the two least read books of the Bible have the feast in it. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 24-25 goes like this. "Speak to the people of Israel, saying, 'In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall observe a day of complete rest, a holy convocation commemorated with trumpet blast. You shall not work at your occupations, and you shall present the Lord's offering by fire.'" Now, what's interesting to me is that God is usually a God of great detail. But in the Feast of Trumpet description, in Leviticus and in Numbers, God never tells the people what they're supposed to be celebrating. He just tells them on the first day of the seventh month, this is what you are to do. You have to understand, you have to know a little Hebrew to fully understand what they were celebrating. See, the Hebrew word that is used here for blowing of trumpet is a word, tilrahu. And what that means is literally blowing the trumpet. Now, but it also has another meaning. And it's a meaning that infers a praising of God. So what the Feast of Trumpets is, at the minimum, a time of remembering and also a time of praising God. Now, since God didn't give much detail, the rabbis over the years decided to help and to try to determine what the people should be celebrating, what do they remember, and what do they praise God for. So they begin to add some stuff. First off, they made a one-day celebration 2 days. And then they said that one of the things we're remembering, one of the things that we're praising God for, is the creation of the world. So this was a kind of like the birthday of the earth celebration. And so they're to remember and to praise God for creating all of this, right? Then they said, you know, we're going to add something else. And they added a well-known Jewish holiday called, you got it? You're not going to put it up? There you go. What is it? Which means the head of the year. It is the Jewish New Year. And I think in 2018, it's September 9th. Now, here's the difference. I think Eddie talked about this in the welcome. When we celebrate the New Year on January 1st, it is a time of celebration. It is loud, it is fun, it is parties. But when the Jewish celebrate the New Year, it is a very somber, very serious celebration. It is a time of soul searching and of introspection. And it's the beginning of a season, which is the holiest season of the Jewish year. It's called the 10 days of awe, or the 10 days of repentance. And these 10 days lead up to the holiest day, Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, which we're going to look at on Palm Sunday. Now, what you have to understand is the people of Israel, the Jewish people, were told that they are to celebrate and to praise God with the shofar and then to remember. The word that the writer uses for remember, or in the translation I read, commemorate, is a Hebrew word, zakar. Say zakar. You now know a Hebrew word. And it and when a Hebrew, you know, when you and I talk about remembering, right, we talk about specific events, we talk about data, we talk about facts. That's our idea of remembering, when we remember an event. When we remember Pearl Harbor Day, we remember the facts of December 7th and what happened and the events. When the Jews remember Zakar, it's an implication that they not just recount or recall a story. For the Jew, they're actually reliving the story as if they were there. For example, when the Jews celebrate Passover, right? What are they doing? They're remembering the fact that they were once slaves in Egypt, that God led them out of Egypt, that God parted the Red Sea, and eventually led them into the Promised Land, right? But when the Jews remember that, they actually relive it as if they were in slavery, as if they crossed the Red Sea, as if they entered into the Promised Land. So it's a whole different understanding. And it's why we're looking at this, because these are the feasts that Jesus would have practiced. He would have remembered. He would have relived those moments within this community. So part of the remembering is always part of action in the Jewish mind. So here is the first day of the year, the holy day. And they were called to remember. And then they were to spend 10 days getting ready for Yom Kippur. Now, here's what they remembered. Are you ready? The central to Rosh Hashanah is this idea that we have broken relationships with one another. And the 10 days of awe or repentance are about restoring the broken relationships with one another, with us, so that on Yom Kippur, they could restore the broken relationship with God. Because what the Jewish mind believed is the relationship with God could never be whole if the relationships here were broken. And so they had these 10 days that they worked at that. Now, central to that, the Jews believe, now this gets a little, you have to kind of free up your mind. Jews believe that God had two different books, the book of life and the book of death. And on Rosh Hashanah, God would write your name in one of the books, either the book of life or the book of death. And you wouldn't know, but one would bring you a good year and one would bring you a bad year for the year. And so the Jews wanted to have the good life, the good year. And so they would spend the 10 days of awe doing three things that would, in their mind, sway God to move them from the book of death to the book of life, or sway God to keep them in the book of life. There were three parts of this. There was a teshuvah, which is the idea of repentance. There is a tefillah, which is the idea of prayer. And there's a dakah, which is the idea of good deeds. And they would do these actions so that they would sway God's thinking, so that they would all have a good year. And it's this understanding of wanting to be written in the book of life for another year that they would do this greeting. And the greeting went like this. May you be inscribed and sealed for a good year. You see, because after the 10 days, Yom Kippur would happen, and that's when the books would be sealed. So that's the type of year you would have. And so they would greet one another with this greeting. Leave it up, Tom, with this greeting. May you be inscribed and sealed for a good year. I want you to stand if you can. Stand for just a moment. Go ahead, stand, crowd participation. And I want you to turn to one another and give them this blessing. May you be inscribed and sealed for a good year. Go ahead, bless one another. See, what you just did is you made sure that everyone in here is written in the book of life. See what you did? You are good people. Have a seat. Now, one of the best traditions of the holy day, Rosh Hashanah, is known as the Tashlik, Hebrew. And it's a fun Hebrew word because you get to make the sound at the end. You want to say it with me? Tashlik. There you go. You got to cough up a lung. And what tashlik means is literally casting off. And part of the celebration was that the Jews would gather at a body of water, a stream or a river or a lake or a pond, some water that had movement, not just a puddle, some water that had some sort of movement. And they would stand there and they would recite the prayer that's found. It's a combination of excerpts from different Psalms and also from Micah. And you're going to hear the prayer in a moment. But they would recite that prayer. Then they would do this odd thing. They would take bread, and as a symbol of their desire to cast off their sin, they would take the bread and they would throw it on the water and stand there in silence and watch the water, the stream, the river, the lake, take the bread away. Then they would take their pockets, open their pockets. I can't do it because I got pebbles. Oh, what the heck. They would do that. to shake out any breadcrumbs that might have gathered in their pockets just in case they forgot to confess a sin. Because this is serious stuff. Book of life, book of death. They didn't want to leave anything for chance. And so that's how they would begin this 10 days of awe. But then, because with remembering, there's always action, they would then spend the next 10 days seeking forgiveness and reconciliation so that they could restore wholeness to a relationship that was broken. So that on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, they could be made right with God. That is powerful. I mean, really powerful. Now, I wish I could tell you that Jesus participated in that ritual, but we don't know. Because there's some real discussion among Jewish scholars when that became part of that tradition. So we don't know Jesus did that, but we know this. We know that on the first day of the seventh month, Jesus was in either the synagogue or the temple. And he heard the shofar blow, and he remembered. He remembered all that God had done, all God is doing, and the future promises that God will do. And he praised God, and he realized again that he was in the very presence of God, and he celebrated. Now, what does that have to do with us? I just happen to believe that if we took serious a time of introspection, right, to do real soul searching and to determine what relationships in our lives aren't whole, what relationships in our lives may be damaged or may be broken, and then work at forgiveness and reconciliation to make those whole, can you imagine what the community would look like? If we not just remembered, but if we actually decided to do something about it and to make things right. So here's what we're going to do. We really couldn't figure out how to make a stream of flowing water. I suggested we take a gutter and we take a hose and we just, but Eddie, on behalf of the trustees, nixed that. So we're not going to use bread because we thought throwing bread in still water that isn't moving would look really gross, right? It just wouldn't be pleasant. So you have pebbles. And I'm going to direct you in a moment on these pebbles. There'll be a shofar that blows. We'll spend some time in silence. Okay? So if you don't have the pebbles in your hand, I'm going to encourage you to take your pebbles and to hold them either in your right or your left fist. And close it to where you feel the pebbles. And then when the first shofar blows, what I want you to think about and to feel is the very presence of God in this room and in your life. So while you're still holding the pebbles, this time when the shofar blows, what I would love for you to do is to remember. Remember a relationship in your life that is not whole, that is broken, maybe because of something you did, maybe because of something you said. And with the rock still in your hand, this time when the shofar blows, I want you to remember the relationships in your life that may be broken, or maybe harmed, or maybe damaged by maybe things you didn't do or words you never said. In a moment, you will hear the prayer. And when the prayer is finished, you're invited to come and to take the pebbles out of your pocket or out of your hand and to put them in the water. And I suggest maybe you touch the water so that you feel the pebbles go down, so that you will know that that part, the remembering of the brokenness, has been taken away.
Who is like you, God, who removes iniquity and overlooks transgression of the remainder of his inheritance? He doesn't remain angry forever because he desires kindness. He will return and he will be merciful to us, and he will conquer our iniquities and he will cast them into the depths of the seas. Give truth to Jacob, kindness to Abraham, like that you swore to our ancestors from long ago. From the straits, I called upon God. God answered me with expansiveness. God is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? God is with me to help me, and I will see my foes annihilated. It is better to take refuge in God than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in God than to rely on nobles.
And would you receive the benediction? And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, go from this place. And may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. And may you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do, nothing, nothing, that will ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you're nothing but the best of the best of the best. And can you imagine what your day would be like if you lived it believing that? You'd have a good day. Take care. God bless. And we'll see you Tuesday night.